Now, people have been hoping for perhaps a bit of a snapback when we reach the end of COVID-19 and return in such a way to pre-COVID life. With everything we see going on now in Victoria, is there really a chance that we are just going to snap back to business as normal?
Well, even before the Victorian resurgence, that wasn't going to happen, obviously, because then borders were going to remain closed for a very long time. And so that wasn't going to happen. But now obviously, I think we're faced with dealing first with this outbreak and then, obviously, with a ramping up of restrictions in the future, the likelihood of future outbreaks and so forth. So I think the idea of a snapback is now completely off the table.
You've spoken about the need for a new employment system or a new, unemployment system for a new reality. Why is that the case?
Well, I think, again, even before the pandemic, clearly the economy wasn't delivering anything that could be described as full employment. The unemployment rate had been stuck at 5% or so for a long time, and underemployment had been rising a lot. That really meant that the young people were finding it very difficult to get into full-time employment. I think we clearly needed to move beyond the idea, which was informing the government's policies, that there were jobs for everybody. If you didn't have a job, either you were lazy and avoiding work, or you had something personally wrong with you, some lack of skills or lack of job readiness that could be remedied by training. That clearly wasn't true then. I think it clearly is not going to be true for a long time to come. We won't have the market delivering market jobs for everybody for quite some years to come. So we really need to look at the question of how we deal with the ways in which people can contribute to society and get away from the notion that the only way to do that is a paid job.
You've suggested the solution to the problems we're facing could be a livable income guarantee. Would you mind explaining to us what that is, how that would work?
Yes. So it's also called a participation income. And the general idea is that we should guarantee everybody who's willing to make a contribution to society a livable income, which in this context, I think the age pension is the obvious model. We give the age pension to everybody who's 65 or 66 on the assumption that they've made enough of a contribution during their lifetime, regardless of what their history of work and so forth has been. We should extend that not only to unemployed people seeking work, but to people willing to engage in voluntary work, creative artistic work, caring and so forth. And there's a wide range of contributions that people can make that don't require this exclusive focus on market-paid jobs.
Mm. How would we go about paying for such a living wage?
Well, the first part of it would be to increase the all the benefits, particularly the unemployment benefit, whatever we're going to call it, currently job seeker, to raise that level of the old age pension. Currently, the supplement is actually above the old age pension, but we should set it permanently equal. Now, we could afford to do that 30 years ago. There's not; it's been frozen in real terms for 30 years, but before that, the two were moved together. I estimate that will cost maybe $8 billion a year, which is a small change in the context of the government's budget. The larger participation income, I've estimated, might cost $30 billion a year. And that's very comparable to the tax cuts for upper income earners, which the government is talking about bringing forward. Now, very clearly, I think, in the current crisis, the last people who need help are people on $180,000 a year or more. So the money that's been put aside for that would be far better help put to helping people at the bottom of the income distribution, not people at the top.
And certainly this crisis has illuminated, I guess, a lot of the issues we see within our welfare system. Are there other changes, do you think, will need to be made to the system itself?
Well, I think we need to move from a situation where some aspects of the system reflect a very strong belief that people are trustworthy and should be trusted. For example, the income tax system works on self-assessment, so you simply send to the tax office what you say you've earned and spent. And they may come and check you, so it's, you have to be verified, but essentially most of the time they take your word for it, compared with the kind of very punitive compliance measures we've seen across the board with unemployment benefits, but also with robo-debt, with restrictions on how you can spend your income and so forth. So that will be another fundamental change we need. I think the experience of this crisis and indeed of the global financial crisis has been lots of people who had never been unemployed before have been thrown out of work, absolutely through no fault of their own, and that has made them, I think, made at least some people think that people who are already unemployed weren't necessarily at fault themselves, that the problem is in the failure of the system to generate enough reliable and secure jobs rather than the fault of the unemployed.
It certainly seems like COVID has exposed some very big holes. John, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us this morning, unpacking this one for us a little bit.
Thank you.